Wasn't that a wonderful worship?
Yes.
And so we went into that worship thinking about the fact that the Word of God is a two-edged sword. And that when you're obedient to it, it brings blessings. So that if you hear the gospel and your heart is softened and you believe it, you're born again. But if you hear it and you reject it, then you're damned. Mm. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Here's another example. The Word of God says that we should tithe. If we tithe, then we have the windows of heaven blessing. God pours out of heaven the blessings upon us in all areas. And he rebukes, he fights for us, not as Jehovah Jireh or provider, but as Jehovah Sabaoth, the general of the armies of heaven, the captain of the host. What a wonderful deal. But if you don't tithe, then you're cursed with a curse. And nobody wants to be cursed with a curse. And that's not as bad as, neither one of those two are as bad. Well, yeah, the first one about being damned is pretty bad. Okay? But the second one is not as bad as what we're going to talk about next, which is the anointing for life. The Word of God releases the anointing of God. So the anointing of God is available, and there's an anointing for life. An anointing where sickness and disease are driven out of you and life floods you. Healing comes. But it is also an anointing for life, which means you live and you don't have to die. For the life of God in you drives out death. Now we start a series on Sunday called Living and Not Dying. But for those of you who've been coming regularly, we have a precursor series over the last five times that I've taught. God gave me four teachings and he added a fifth one, which is this one. And I thought there were just five diverse teachings. But as I got into them, I realized he was building a foundation for the series that starts on Sunday. So the first series was on hindrances to your faith. And we saw channels, the major channels that the devil strategically uses to attack your faith and your health and everything, with a strategic look at how the devil attacks you. But we see that the foundation of all the responses to the attack, the way we overcome the attack, everything we do is really based upon one simple thing, the Lordship of Jesus. I'll put it another way, the reason why these attacks are successful is to the extent that we're not living under the Lordship of Jesus some of the time. And then the next time we taught on the anointing for healing. And we pointed out the anointing for healing could just as well have been the anointing for prosperity or for success, because they all work the same way. And we saw that the anointing for healing, that the things we do to manifest health and healing in our bodies all come down to one statement, dwelling in the presence of God. So the first two is living under the Lordship of Jesus by dwelling in his presence. And then number three, we looked at the laws of prayer. And we saw the laws of prayer are spiritual laws. Just as God maintains the world, created and maintained the world by spiritual laws, which are much higher than the laws of nature, physical laws, laws of chemistry, which are much higher themselves than the laws of men. The spiritual laws are the highest set of laws and cannot be broken. They're based on the Word of God. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God, the spiritual laws based on the Word of God, shall never fail. Never fail. And so we understand, and we looked at laws of prayer, some of the three most well-known prayers. We looked at the spiritual laws embedded in them. And so we see that if we live under the lordship of Jesus 24/7, by dwelling in the presence of God, and we understand the spiritual laws that embody prayers, we can do anything, which of course is what the scripture says. And that's how we ended 2017, which brought us to the first sermon in 2018, which was 2018, the emergence of the very elect. Because the very elect are going to emerge because they understand that they need to dwell under the lordship of Jesus. It's not enough to be saved and to be going to heaven. One has to be under the lordship. And to be under the lordship, you have to dwell in his presence. But once you do those two things and you understand the laws of prayer, you can do anything and you become part of the very elect. Remind you, you know, that Jesus said that days of tribulation are coming. That would be the worst in history. Worse than history. You stop to think about it. Worse than the Holy Ghost. That's pretty bad. And this is going to be worse. Worse in history, the persecution coming up on the Christians and the Jews. And that unless those days will be shortened, unless those days are shortened, all flesh will be lost. But for the elect's sake, the days will be shortened. But there'll be so many false prophets and so many false signs that if it were possible, even the very elect might be deceived. So we see the elect, the believer, the observant Jew, the messianic Jew, those believers are the elect. And we see that they'll be so challenged as elect that the days weren't shorted, they'd all lose their lives. But not so for the very elect. That's not the issue for the very elect. For the very elect, the issue is, are they going to be deceived or not? And the way we know we're not deceived is by exercising the word of God so we can discern good and evil. Scriptures tell us clearly, you need to exercise the word of God so you can discern between good and evil. And you do that when you live under the lordship of Jesus, when you dwell in his presence, when you understand spiritual laws, and you emerge into being the very elect. And to do that, to become the very elect, we need to understand the anointing for life, which brings us to today, part 5. The anointing for life. Christ has redeemed us from all our sins. All our sins are paid for, past, present, and future. Paid for. Your spirit is born again, and for a born-again believer, we understand the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. But while we are in the body, we know the scripture says that you should reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. That you should no longer be servants to sin, but be servants to righteousness. That the righteousness that's in you, that's the gift of God, work the righteousness out of your inner man, out of your spirit, into your members. So your members should no longer serve sin, but your members should serve righteousness. And one of the chief members is your tongue. That your tongue should only speak words that bring grace to the hearer. Your tongue should never say a word that contradicts God's word. And your tongue should never speak of death, because what you sow is what you'll reap. If you sow death with your tongue, it's going to come back and bite you. So you reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. For we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. But not I, not you. Christ Jesus lives in us. Christ Jesus lives in us. And the life we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. That should be our attitude. That should be our perspective. That should be our life. We live for him. Because when we live for him, then we're not living carnally. For when you live carnally, the scripture says, to live carnally, for a believer to live carnally is death. Not the death of being separated from God, not spiritual death, but physical death. For a believer to live carnally is physical death. The body will die. For every sin is incipient death. Every sin is an incremental step towards the death of the body. Every sin. So on one hand, Lester Summerall was told he was going to die. Didn't have much longer to live. Been praying. Lester Summerall is one of the greatest men of God of all times, okay? In case you don't know who he is. Lester Summerall was someplace overseas, and he's asleep, and he's awakened because his bed is shoved across the room. And he woke up and look, and there's Satan standing looking at him. Satan had pushed the bed across the room. And Lester Summerall looks up and says, "Oh, it's just you." And turned over to go back to sleep. I said, "Oh, but Satan, before you leave, put the bed back where it was." And goes back to sleep. That's Lester Summerall. So at this point in time, he was dying. And Jesus appeared to him. In one hand, he had a Bible. And in one hand, he had a coffin. And he didn't say a word. He stood there with a Bible and a coffin. Lester Summerall chose the Bible and became a great preacher of God. That's what Romans 8:6 says. So for a believer to live carnally is death. If you live carnally, you will physically die. But if you don't live carnally, then you don't have to die. For every sin moves you, your body, incrementally closer to death. But just as every sin moves the body incrementally closer to death, just so every step of righteousness moves you incrementally closer to life.
Amen.
So what choice is? We want to move step by step closer to life and life everlasting. Mm-hmm. Not for the spirit, we got that already, but for the body. Mm-hmm. For Romans 8:30, 29 or 30, my encyclopedia will correct me here. Romans 8:30 says that we have been predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. This body of glory in Romans 8:30, this body of glory in us, already belongs to us. And we move towards it incrementally, step at a time, by dwelling under the Lordship of Jesus, by living in his presence, by operating the spiritual laws, because we know how, by becoming part of the very elect and dwelling in the anointed for life, that step by step we get closer and closer to that glorified body. The day will come when those who are doing this will go up in the clouds to meet Jesus and will turn around and come back down to the earth for the battle of Armageddon. So, the Word of God produces an anointing. If you live it and do what it says, what you get is eternal life in your body. But if you don't, the body dies. It's a two-edged sword. That's one of the choices everybody gets to make. You want that second hamburger, which you know God says you should only have one hamburger, or do you want to move incrementally closer to everlasting life in your body? Think of Mr. Summerall. Pastor Peter was told by his doctors, "You got 3 months to live. 3 months to live." And he went home and he was in despair. And he told his wife, "I'm going to hell." She said, "What do you mean you're going to hell? You go to church every Sunday." He says, "I don't know. I don't understand it, but I'm going to hell. I know I'm going to hell. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to hell." And he cried out to God. And God showed him what to get born again. And he got born again. He started handing out brochures on Jesus on the street. Never went back to his doctor. Hasn't seen a doctor since then. And that was 49 years ago. He chose incremental life over incremental death. We all get to make the same choice. And you are blessed that you're here in person and on the internet hearing this series. I hope you heard all five parts of the series, but at least you're getting this part. It's your choice. God says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, choose life or choose death. Isn't that what he said? Is that what I'm saying? I'm just a little bit more graphic and more wordy. Choose life or choose death. How do you choose life or death? You choose blessing or cursing. In other words, you choose carnality or you choose spirituality. You choose to live for Jesus or you choose to live for your flesh. Choose life or choose death. It is that simple. So, to understand why this works, which we really shouldn't have to understand it, we should just believe it. But to understand it, you need to understand at the beginning the sources of life. I put sources, plural, but I could just have easily put source. I had source and I debated, I ended up with sources. Because the sources of life are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So they're three sources, but they're one. So when I put sources or source, it's still God. You with me so far? So, first time we see life in operation was when God formed man out of the dust of the ground in 2:7. He took dearth and breathed his spirit to him. Okay? His spirit. Okay? And man became a living soul. First Adam was a living soul. But the last Adam, Jesus, was a quickening spirit. A spirit that gave life and that still gives life. You understand that God is life. And life produces light. And God is light. God is life. Well, if God is life, what is death? That is separation from God. You know, in the movies, they made a phrase somewhat popular. I've heard it multiple different movies over the years, that the person is a dead man walking. In other words, somebody decided, I'm going to kill that guy, and he's a dead man walking. He just doesn't know he's dead yet. Well, that's the way everybody is who is not connected to God. They are dead men, dead women walking. Because God is life, and if you're not connected to God, you're a dead man, dead woman walking. And they all expect to die. Everybody who's not connected to God expects to die. They believe the prophet Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin says, only two things are certain, death and taxes. And this great man, who's a great man of God, was wrong on both counts. Yeah, so everybody who's not connected to life has no life. If you have no life, then there's death. See, Adam was told by God, on the day that you eat the fruit, sin, you will die. And people say, yeah, but he didn't die for 930 years. No. He died on the day he ate the fruit. His spirit man died. And God said, know that he is dead. I forget the exact terminology. Let us prevent him from coming back into the garden and eating of the tree of life and living forever. So God said it was clear he was dead. Because death is a spiritual thing. Death is separation from God. Now, Adam had a lot of the life of God stirred up in him, and he ran in battle with power for 930 years. I'll put it another way. There were probably not that many opportunities to sin in those days. Stop to think about it. What kind of sin would they commit? The only sins they could commit are the ones are when they broke the truth that was written on their hearts. And there was not a lot of truth written on their heart. You say, well, they could commit adultery. Well, could they? Was anybody getting married? 10 commandments weren't given. They couldn't break the 10 commandments. They were not under law. So it took a long, long time for the devil to teach Adam how to die. Took a long time for the life to run out, and he died. Because he was incrementally moving his body towards death. He didn't have in him a quickening spirit, the spirit of life that can allow us to incrementally move back towards life. So Revelation 21:6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life, really. See, fountain of the water of life. Fountain of the water of life. I believe it was Ponce de Leon, explorer, who was very famous because he spent much of his life looking for the fountain of youth. And went down in the history book for doing that. But guess what? The kingdom of God is within you. The fountain of youth is within you. God renews your youth like the eagles. The fountain of life is inside you. And we can tap into that fountain by incrementally moving towards God. Jesus. John 3:15. Whosoever believe in Jesus should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, where in there do you see that the spirit should have everlasting life, but the body is going to die? It doesn't say that. Have everlasting life. First John 5:11. This life is in his Son. God is life. Life is in God. But God has also put the life in his Son. So when you're hooked into the Son, you're hooked into life. As long as Adam was hooked into God, there was no death. He separated himself from God by sinning. As long as we are hooked into the Son, there is no death. Because every time we sin, we can confess it and wipe it away and move back closer to God. Because in us is Jesus, the Spirit of life. Life is in us. You know, if the lights are on in this room, you can't have darkness in the room unless you turn off the light. As long as there's life in the room, as long as there's light in the room, there's life. As long as there's life in you, there's life. Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. As long as there's life in you, there is life. What happens with people when they die? Is death so overwhelms them that their body is separated from God. They separate their body. They do it. John 4:14. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Notice none of these talk about for the Spirit. The Spirit is already born again. The Spirit already has eternal life. For a believer, all this is talking about everlasting life for the body. The thief comes not to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But I'm come that you might have life. I'm come that you might have life. Well, people say, but yeah, but I'm alive already. Well, A, if you are not born again, you're not really alive. You're separated from God. You're a dead man walking. Jesus comes in. Now you're hooked up to God and you have life. The only way you're going to lose that life is if you make a choice to incrementally keep sinning and moving towards death. Comes that you might have life and that the life is always there for you. John 14:6. You might say, but that's really hard to do. Yeah, that's why we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm the way. It's hard for us, but he's the way and he's the truth and the life. And the truth is, if life is in you, you can't die unless you choose it. Just like if you're born again and going to heaven, you can't accidentally lose your salvation. But you can choose to give it up. Joe said you can choose to give up your salvation. For example, take the mark of the beast and worship the beast. Is one way. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Committing unpardonable sin. But you can't lose it. You can only give it up. It's the same thing with life. You can't lose your life. You have to give it up. But people give it up incrementally, little by little. Little by little, it sneaks up on you. Just like little by little for a lot of people. I remember me. I used to go on fast, and I come off the fast, I'd eat like two piggies. And before I knew it, my weight was always stable through my life until I started doing long fasts. And the next thing I know, my weight was going up on like yo-yo. I used to wonder, why do people have different size clothes? Didn't make sense to me. And then I realizing I was having 30 and 32 and 34, and I got up to 38. And I thought all the manufacturers had gone crazy. But the series, you know, look at those measurements, they're all wrong. And then one day I looked down and I couldn't see my toes. All I could see was a big tummy out there. Mm-hmm. It had incrementally sneaked up on me. Mm-hmm. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Incrementally sneaked up on me. Death wants to incrementally sneak up on every person.
Right.
Don't let it. To be carnally minded is physical death. Mm. Don't do it. And Jesus is the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He says, if you believe in me, though you're dead, yet shall you live again. But if you believe in me and you're alive, you shall never die. Jesus said, if you believe in me and you're alive, you shall never die. John 11:24, 25, 26. And then he turned to Martha and says, and do you believe that? She didn't know what he said, so she said, I believe you're the Lord. Well, the same question he made to her is he making to you and me. Do you actually believe that you're alive and you believe in Jesus and the word of God is true and you shall never die? And the point of this whole teaching is it's not enough to dwell under the lordship of Jesus and to spend time in God's presence and to understand the law and become part of the very elect. You need to speak the word of God. For you have what you say, and your words must be confirming your destination. You must speak the end from the beginning. And the end is, I'm going to be alive and remain when Jesus returns, and my wife is going to be alive and remain when Jesus returns, and I hope all of you are going to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. But you got to say it, and you got to say it because your word guides your life. Your word determines what happens in three worlds. And your word will change your own heart and soul and body. You know, I've been telling people now for what? 10, 15 years maybe. That I've been telling the devil now for 30 years. Approximately. That he can't kill me. And a lot of people look at me like I'm crazy, which I'm kind of getting used to. Mm-hmm. How can you tell that to the devil? Aren't you scared? You know, it's like when I first thought, I was scared. When I first thought that every word you say has come to pass. You think, wow, that's pretty heavy, man. Right? Every word you say has come to pass. Whoa. But we need to go to the point where we can say, believe it, and speak words that we want to come to pass. You do not want to speak words that you don't want to come to pass because you're lying to yourself. And the devil just love it. The best thing to do when you're angry is shut your mouth. Zipper it. I teach people, you get offended with an email or text message, don't answer it. If you have to answer it, but don't send it for 24 hours. And don't put the person's name in it because it might accidentally get sent. Listen, I know what I'm telling you. Okay, folks. All right. You gotta get to the point where your word is so meaningful to you that you understand that every time you speak, either an angel goes into an action or a demon. Either your word is moving you closer towards life eternal for your body or towards death. Now, if you believe everybody's going to die, hey, go ahead, do whatever you want, say whatever you want. You're going to die anyway. But if you believe the word of God, and Jesus says, if you believe in me and you're alive, you shall never die. If he didn't mean it, he wouldn't have said it. And behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die. We shall all be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51. And many more scriptures. That's what the series is all about. So, everything here is positioning us to have a deeper understanding of the series as we teach it. Because we need to have our words in sync with our hearts. And that we live these words and we see them and we believe them. And we preach to our bodies and we declare them all the time. The devil can't kill me. I'm going to be here when Jesus returns. End of story. So life comes from God. Life comes from Jesus. Life comes from the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Yes, I know it means that you commit a sin and you ask forgiveness. Don't let condemnation come upon you. It means that, and it's very important. But I want to take you to a higher level. There's no condemnation. When a person is condemned, they're put on death row. They're waiting to die. This is saying you're not on death row waiting to die. There's no condemnation. Jesus took all your sins. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus took them, so you're not on death row waiting for death. No, you can incrementally choose to go out towards death, which is what it says here. There's therefore no condemnation. Let me rephrase it. Therefore, no one is on death row waiting to die if they're in Christ Jesus. If they walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Because if they walk after the flesh, they're walking carnally, and to walk carnally is death. So you're not in death row and you're not waiting to die if you are in Christ Jesus and you choose to walk after the Spirit. Because every step of righteousness, everything that you do for God, towards God, will move you incrementally towards that life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We are free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is a law. It's a law that's higher than the laws of physics, than the laws of medicine. The law of sin and death says, if you sin, you will die. That's the law. But the condition is that if you have the Spirit of life in you, you don't need to die. Every law operates without change under certain conditions. The law here is, if you sin, you will die, unless the Spirit of life is in you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You got to move that righteousness from inside you into the body to drive out the death that wants to claim the body. You make those choices incrementally, step by step. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also put life into your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will do the same thing to you. Your body left itself would die, but the Spirit of life is in you, raising you and your body out of that death. The Spirit of life is in you, pumping life into every cell, organ, and system. You don't need to die. if you believe the word of God. Amen. Here's an example. Acts 20, 9 and 10. Acts 20, verse 9 and 10. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. He's in a window high up. And he falls into a deep sleep because Paul was long in preaching. See? I don't know why some people preach a long time, but he was. So Paul was long in preaching, and this young man sunk down with sleep, fell off the window from the third loft, he's three stories up, and was taken up dead. What does it say? He's dead. He's dead. You see that? He fell three stories, and he's dead. Verse 10. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, don't trouble yourself, don't be concerned. For his life is in him. Now, is this Eutychus' life in him? No, Eutychus is dead. It's the life of Jesus Christ. His life is in him. And he raised him from the dead. His life is in you and will defeat every death. That's why this ministry has been involved in raising seven people from the dead. There's a bishop who haven't seen her for quite a while. She used to call me daddy. She's raised 13 people from the dead. 13. She has churches in, what, four countries that I'm aware of. 13 people from the dead. So life comes from God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But your spoken word releases the anointing for life. Your word releases it. That's what I want you all to start doing. Start declaring, I'll be alive and remain when Jesus returns. I will live and not die. Your tongue can release life. Psalm 103, verse 5. Who satisfy my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. How do we do that? By the words we speak. Your words speak what God says and your youth is renewed like the eagles. Proverbs 13:3. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life. Amen. You want to keep your life? Keep your mouth. Zipper it. You know, I've gone on word fast. I've gone on word fast when I was a pastor of this church. Wherefore, I forget. 1 week, 2 weeks. I don't know how long it was. A month? Whatever it was. The entire time went by, I never said a word. People come here and I had a note. They say something, and I give them a note. Note to say, sorry, I can't speak. I'm on word fast. I've done that multiple times. If you've never been on a word fast, do yourself a wonderful favor and go on a word fast and ask God, how long should you go without speaking a word? A single word. It will change your life. Your tongue controls your life. Your tongue controls your life. If you can't control your tongue, you can't control anything. He who keeps his mouth keeps his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. That's the word of God. If you open your mouth wide, you talk a lot, you will have destruction. It says, in a multitude of words, there is sin. A multitude of words is incrementally taking you towards death. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. You think God wants you to live and not die? Maybe that's why he says live and not die. Why? To proclaim the gospel. That's what we're here for, to declare the works of the Lord. We're here to declare the works of the Lord. Live to do it. If you're not doing it, and you want to incrementally move towards death, it's your choice. Death and life are the power of the tongue. Proverbs 8:21. Goes on to say, and he who loves it, will eat the fruit of it. He who loves life and speaks life will eat the fruit. He who loves death and speaks sin will eat the fruit of death. The Holy Spirit confirms the life which you speak. The Holy Spirit confirms the word which you speak. If the word you speak is the word of life, the Holy Spirit confirms it. Luke 5:17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law, which were come out of every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Jesus was teaching. What do you think he was teaching on? I can tell you what he was teaching on. He was teaching on healing. How do I know? Because the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal. So he must have been teaching healing. Whatever you teach is what the Holy Spirit confirms. That's why people can say, we're having a miracle service. When I used to hear that when I was unsaved, I think, are these people crazy? How can they declare God is going to heal people in this day? Isn't that true? A lot of Christians believe that. How can you say that it's a miracle service and God's going to heal people? Very easy. You got to preach healing. And when you preach healing, the Holy Spirit confirms it. We know that because we've lived through it, right?
Yeah.
Well, then why don't we speak life? We speak life. We're going to live until Jesus returns. We're going to live to 120. We're going to live to pass Methuselah. Which more and more I'm saying. Why is that? Methuselah died at 969. All I have to do is make it to the rapture, and I got this guy beat. Isn't that true? Think about it. All I have to do is make it to the rapture and be raptured. I am not subject to the second death, and I would blow by him like he's standing up. Which he is standing up, or lying down. Whatever he's doing. Okay? Matthew 16:20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word, with signs following. Now, notice the parentheses there are around them. That means that in the original text, it was not there, but as this particular version of the Bible was produced, they put in that word to help understand it, to clarify it. So it's correct. It's just not the highest level of clarification. The highest level is take it out and read it without it. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word. The Lord working with the word and the Lord confirming the word. Everybody see that? That's what the Lord does. He works with and confirms the word. That's how you can declare miracle services. That's how you can declare. That's how I've declared Satan can't kill me. See, when I say Satan can't kill me, I'm not trying to antagonize Satan. I mean, he doesn't need anybody to antagonize him. He's always antagonistic. That's his nature. I'm not bragging. No, I'm declaring words so the Holy Spirit can confirm it. The Word of God says that if you believe in Jesus, you shall live and not die. Well, if I'm going to live and not die, Satan can't kill me. So I'm just speaking words for the Holy Spirit to confirm me. It's worked so far for 44 years. You understand, when I turned 65 and I went in to get my Social Security because it belongs to me, I said to the lady, okay, I want my Social Security, but I don't want this medical stuff that goes with it. She said, you don't? I said, no, I don't want it. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm positive, I don't want it. So she looked around to find a form. She couldn't find it. So she called the boss. The boss comes over and they look and look and look. Came back after like half an hour. The boss says, you know, I've been here doing this for 40 years and I've never heard anybody asked her that before. And we can't find a form. She said, can't you just simply take it and not use it? So I said, okay. So I took it. Never used it. I will never use it. I will never use it in the name of Jesus. Simple. It's a decision I made. It's a decision of the heart based on the Word of God. Because healthy people don't need doctors. And the Bible tells me, I remember when I was at this major motion picture studio with this fantastic fringe benefits, one of which was medical. Fantastic medical, dental, everything. Didn't have time to use it. Didn't have any need for it. So I'm leaving, and at that time I was wearing glasses. And I said, well, why don't I go in? I was wearing glasses on off. So why don't I go in, Lord, and get a checkup? At least I get something from the benefit. He said, you want a checkup? I said, yeah. He said, what's wrong with the Bible as a checkup? I said, oh, I got it. The Bible is my checkup. That was God's word to me. The Bible is my checkup. That's the last time I ever talked to God about having a checkup. Okay? But you got to speak it. You got to dwell in the presence of God, under the lordship of God. You got to understand the laws. You got to understand you're part of the very elect. You may not feel like part of the very elect. But think of the people you know. Think how much more you know than they do. We really don't know very much. But when you start to minister to other people and go to other churches and hear, you realize how much we actually know. Isn't that true? So God has moved us towards being part of the very elect. So let's start speaking it. We should be alive and remain when Jesus returns. And the devil can't kill us. No, I understand that he'll try. He's going to try anyway. So be prepared for a fight in case he tries. And be prepared, scripture says, that after, when you sin, after your disobedience has been fulfilled, prepare to have vengeance upon your enemy. Every time the demons hit you, you hit them harder. Every time they come after you, you go after them harder. Make them pay so much they don't want to come near you. That's a freebie. No charge for that. And of course, the angels take action based on your words. Psalm 103 verse 20, the angels listen for the voice of God's word. Titus 3 says, it says, it's a faithful saying, affirm these things. Affirm. You're going to be here when Jesus returns. Affirm you're not going to die. Affirm you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Affirm you're complete in Christ Jesus. Affirm you've been perfected by Christ Jesus. Hebrews 1:14. Are the angels not all ministering spirit sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Shall be heirs of salvation. Yep. They're there to work for us. And boy, does my wife give them work. My word. You ought to go to the post office with my wife when she's mailing letters. Or go shopping with her. You'd be amazed at the things that happen when she goes shopping out to the post office. Your actions release the anointing for life. Your words release it, but so do your actions. Every action is an incremental choice of going towards death or life. Seek wisdom and understanding. Ephesians 4:18. For they, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, they are separated from the life of God through ignorance. It's because of ignorance why they're separated from the life of God. Because of the hardness of their heart. But God has shown us how to be hooked up to the life of God, how to be born again, how to loose life into our lives, how to declare that we've been healed, how to confess our sins. He's taught us all this. All we have to do is do it. And I'm saying go one step further. Just declare that you'll be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Declare that, you know, sin has no part of you. Sin has no part of you. Reckon yourself dead to sin. Romans 6:11. Proverbs 16:22. Understanding is a wellspring of life. Proverbs 3:18. Wisdom is a tree of life. Proverbs 8:35. For those who find wisdom, find life. Those who find wisdom, find life. Proverbs 10:17. He, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the way of life. We know the way of life. It's Jesus. And it's being led by the Spirit of God. Proverbs 4:22. The Word of God is life to those who find them. And health and medicine to their flesh. The health and medicine, we stress a lot. Let's stress the life now. The Word of God is life unto our flesh. Another action you can do is live in the fear of the Lord. If you live in that awesome, reverential fear of the Lord, you will choose to dwell under the lordship of Jesus. You will choose to dwell in his presence. It's because a lot of Christians are complacent and don't have this reverential awe of God, because God is their father and God loves them and God is so good to them that they become complacent and disrespectful. Says familiarity breeds contempt. And a lot of Christians are guilty of that. Familiarity breeds contempt. No, no. He's your father, but he's also God. Live in that awesome fear of God. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tends to life. The fear of the Lord produces good works, and it tends to life. And he that has it shall abide satisfied and shall not be visited with evil. Now, is that a good promise? Not be visited with evil. Amen. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Riches and honor are life. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the traps of death. Number 3. Believe and live the truth. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the new Jerusalem. John 5:24. Verily I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, shall not come unto death row, but is passed from death unto life. Pass from death unto life. Don't go back to death. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. We have everlasting life. We are hooked up to life, and life lives in us. Life is in us, powering us. The light won't go out unless you put it out. Don't put it out with incremental sin. John 12:25. He that loves his life shall lose it. If you love your life, the things of the world, the things you've been doing, your past, your history, then you're going to continue being carnal and sinning. But if you look at your past life and say, oh, I am so embarrassed and ashamed of the things that I used to do, and I never want to do them again, like the song says, you know, I repent of all the pleasures of which God was not a part. Beautiful words. I repent of all the pleasures of which God was not a part. Before I became born again, that was about every single pleasure that I had. God was not a part of it. I'm ashamed. No, all I want to do is be in God. John 12:25. Well, John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me has everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. And you don't have to die. John 12:25. He that loves his life shall lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Lose your life to live for Jesus. Romans 2:7. To them who by patiently continuing in what? In well-doing. Patiently letting righteousness work out. Patiently doing things which moves you towards life. Seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So to him who by patiently continuing in well-doing, seek eternal life. It's exactly what I'm telling you. You keep doing the things which incrementally move you towards eternal life in your body. Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Galatians 6:8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you live carnally, see, living carnally isn't necessarily sinful per se, it's living of the flesh. If you focus on the flesh, then of the flesh you'll reap corruption. But if you live for the Spirit, then you shall of the Spirit, notice the capital S, of the Holy Spirit, reap life everlasting. And let me close by reading the highlighted phrases. Revelation 21:6 in part A, fountain of the water of life. John 10:10, I beg your pardon, John 4:14, and the water that I give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So we have a fountain of the water of life. We have a well of the water of life. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is the well of life. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Proverbs 13:14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 16:22, understanding is a wellspring of life. Proverbs 3:18, wisdom is a tree of life. Proverbs 10:17, Jesus is the way of life. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Don't be like Ponce de Leon, who couldn't find it on earth. Let's find it inside us, and the Holy Spirit, in Christ in our hearts, and in the kingdom of God that dwells inside us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.